Blog Talk Radio.
This is a product Purpose Camp Network, and this is the show, Self-Expressions, and I'm your host, Brother Robert Pop-Pop Hudson, and tonight is Self-Expressions Sports Edition. Welcome, everyone, whether you're online or via phone. We thank you so much for calling in tonight and listening to tonight's program. Tonight is our 1,031st episode of Purpose Camp Network, and we bless God for that. And with that being said, I'm just going to go ahead and introduce my topic, and then we're just going to go on to a couple things. My topic tonight is against all odds. And, you know, dealing with sports, you know, there are many odds that you have to go against sometimes even to just win. And, you know, just briefly, you know, sports sometimes, it reflects, you know, what we go through in life. And so I'm going to bridge everything together a little later on. Tonight we're going to be covering Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 10 through 14. And with that aspect, getting that out of the way, I just want to let you know that I am usually the sports anchor on the news on Purpose Camp Network. And so every second Friday, I will have a sports edition of Self-Expressions. So I hope you enjoy. And I hope you enjoyed last month's edition of Self-Expressions. And so we're going to continue throughout the, you know, all of the, you know, athletes that, you know, are just pretty much that are on TV, you know. And one of the things that was famously said by Charles Barkley is, I'm not a role model. And, you know, we quite understand, yes, kids will gravitate to athletes. And, you know, one of the things is that, you know, yes, they don't get paid to be role models, but they're looked up to be as, you know, role models to certain people. And, you know, certain youth will gravitate to athletes because they do amazing things. And one of the things that athletes do is, you know, when they talk, people tend to generally listen. And a lot of the, you know, athletes that we hear now today, you know, they really don't make any sense as far as, you know, their knowledge of, you know, overall things. And one of the things that I do miss from a lot of the athletes, what they would say is, I like to, you know, whenever they want an accomplishment, I like to thank, you know, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I like, you know, without God, nothing was possible for me to win this, you know, trophy award. But when they say that, you know, a lot of people think in the back of their mind that God really did have anything to do with what you're doing. But, you know, before we even think about saying that, you know, we kind of like miss that because we don't hear athletes anymore say that. And it's like sometimes, you know, when we say, hey, I'm tired of hearing this, I'm tired of hearing that, and all of a sudden you don't hear it anymore. Then all of a sudden you're saying, wow, what about the times when, you know, the athletes would thank God first instead of just, you know, constantly patting themselves on the back of the accomplishment, achievements that they have achieved. And instead of saying, this is my God-given ability, they're saying, I worked hard, I deserve this, I earned this. And, you know, they say, oh, whatever city, you know, I'm coming back home with the championship. And well, with that, you know, it's good to have pride in oneself, but, you know, no one can get anywhere without any help somewhere. And who's to say, you know, that God didn't have a hand in that? You know, so just saying, you know, from what we hear now from athletes on TV, you know, it's a more pat on the back than, you know, more of a thanks for the inspiration that they've gotten or the strength they've gotten, you know, to achieve the accomplishments they achieved. And yes, you know, like I said, do we really know if God does have a hand and, you know, if these athletes really win or if, you know, if he says, you know, hey, not you, with someone else. You know, now one of the things, getting back to, you know, on our topic is, you know, against all odds. You know, these athletes that we see on TV, they do go through a tremendous amount of hurdles and obstacles in order to get to the pinnacle of where they're at. And the odds are pretty much stacked against anyone that, you know, have their mind set and saying, hey, I'm going to be an NFL football player, I'm going to be an NBA basketball player, I'm going to be a major league pitcher. You know, any one of those choices that someone wants to make in their life and say, hey, I want to achieve this goal. Well, let me just give you some statistics about the odds of, you know, these people that wish to be professional football player, basketball players, or baseball players. Now, the odds, according to the NFL Player Association, of a high school football player, making it to the NFL, is about 0.2%. And that's based on, you know, the math of out of every 100,000 high school football players, only 215 have a chance of making it in the NFL. And that's just a chance. And that's not out of the 215, the ones that actually make it. So that's a pretty low percentage. And so if you figure, say, hey, listen, let me just jot over to the NBA and see what are my chances. Well, the odds are 100 out of 450,000 make it. So for every kid you see bouncing a basketball, pretty much 1 out of 4,500 of them will actually make it or have a shot at making it in the NBA. And those are pretty astronomical odds. And now the one that have the very least amount of odds of actually making it is if you want to be a Major League Baseball player, not even stating a position, just a player. And the odds are pretty much off the charts percentage-wise because the Major League Baseball teams, they draft from Japan, Cuba, Dominican Republic, pretty much almost anywhere in the world they can draft a player. And so that makes the odds of, even though they're astronomical odds in itself, with just players in this country, they actually compete against players for a spot on a Major League Baseball roster on a worldwide basis. So, you know, those odds are very, very astronomical. So, no, it's not easy to just choose and say, hey, I'm going to be an NBA player. You know, it's not like saying, hey, I want to be a banker, or I want to be a construction worker. You know, these odds are very, very hard to overcome. And just, you know, basically it's a dream of someone wanting to accomplish it. Not let alone the dedication and the hours. You know, just think about the many hundreds of thousands of these former athletes. And I say former athletes because, you know, for either some reason, whether their talent was overlooked or they didn't have enough talent and they just didn't make it, you know, there's tons of stories of those that almost made it or didn't make it, you know, to any of the professional sports leagues that we have out here. And you just have to understand that when, you know, these athletes actually win something, and the ones that actually acknowledge where, you know, they got the strength and faith to keep them carrying on and for them to see, you know, beyond themselves and their achievements and think, you know, no matter how they phrase it, you know, the man above, you know, the one that says, like, first of all, thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Those are the ones that actually get it, you know, how they got there and understanding the odds that they overcame and knowing that out of, you know, all the people, that they're the ones that are standing in that spot right now. And like I said, everything, you know, that I speak of as far as sports, it mainly relates to, you know, what goes on in our everyday lives. Whereas no matter what the odds, and even though the odds are not as astronomical as these athletes face, the odds are still there. The odds against, you know, what we have to go through and what we're attempting to achieve, this, you know, basically is the same, you know, we usually face the same outcome that these athletes have. And, their outcome is, you know, goes beyond winning and losing. It goes beyond, you know, providing means for their family, you know, for where they're looking for a new contract, or whether they're just overall looking to break into the league of, you know, just where they can just start their profession. And that is pretty much the attitude of the professional athletes when they're just, you know, trying to make their own. They're trying to come along. And they're just trying to find it. And so, of course, they're going to have a source of inspiration, you know, besides the, you know, their friend or their family. You know, they're going to have a source of inspiration for them to express it, you know, and then for, you know, times, you know, that the athletes get ridiculed, you know, that's where we have to say, hey, you know, we're being a little bit, we're being just a little bit petty there, you know, nitpicking on the athletes because, you know, they just choose to just lay it out there. Like, hey, I just like to thank my Lord and Savior. And that's what athletes do at times. But, you know, us on the other hand, you know, when we're, you know, in the office or we're in our work environment, you know, we don't make that expression. I know sometimes there's company rules that, you know, disallow things of that nature. But, you know, we don't behave the same way. We don't, you know, have that whole sense of accomplishment. When we're at work, we just say, hey, I made it. I made the pinnacle of, you know, what I was setting out to achieve to in this work environment. And even though it hasn't, you know, it didn't happen, you know, for some people, you know, they're still not down. They're saying, hey, you know, we have another day, another work week, another project. And, you know, that's the same way, you know, athletes look at, you know, each season that they, you know, they have to endure. And if anyone online wants to call in, phone number to call in is 319-527-6091. And we also have an alternate number, which is 323-870-4174. And feel free to join the conversation by pressing the number 1. Okay, so getting back to tonight's topic, which is against all odds, I'm just going to see if we can real quickly go ahead and touch into Jeremiah. So basically in Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 10 through 14, you know, God sent a letter through Jeremiah to, you know, basically the captives that were in Babylon. He's basically telling them that, you know, he still had plans, you know, had plans for them, and, you know, he still would bring them out. You know, when God has plans for you, he can overcome all the odds against basically anything in life that we face. You know, and I know that we all had, you know, we have experience where we're against, you know, astronomical odds sometimes. So, you know, basically, you know, it depends on what level it is. And, you know, I realized when I had to face some odds when I was in the third grade, and a teacher was, you know, basically was showing me, you know, the multiplication chart table. And they were just, basically they were saying, hey, this is where, if you don't learn this, you know, basically you're going to be a street sweeper or elevator operator or something that, you know, a job is not flattering. And so for that, it was when, you know, I realized that I felt the pressure of, you know, being successful, and the odds were that, you know, what are the odds that I was going to have enough time, you know, and I was basically thinking, like, in the short term, like, by the end of the day, learning that timetable chart. And one of the things is that when you have, you know, you put a time restriction or restriction, you know, on yourself, or you put yourself basically under the gun, you put the odds out of your favor where you think that you would have to, you know, basically rush and learn or like you say, learn everything in one day. You know, basically, when, you know, we put pressure on ourselves, you know, when we feel as though that no matter how the odds are stacked up against us, and we feel as though we don't have to make an attempt because it's a losing cause, you know, sometimes you have to give effort, and just with that effort, you know, you have to, then you'll find out the results. Sometimes, you know, when we tackle some things, you know, we just can't get things knocked out in one day. We can't just, you know, take it on, you know, all at once. You know, sometimes we have to back off and we have to just pick and choose our fights. And, you know, just to get back to before we get, you know, any further, like discuss anything any further, I just want to go ahead and read Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 10 through 14. This is God's word on the subject. As soon as Babylon's 70 years are up, and not a day before, I'll show up and take care of you as I promised and bring you back home. I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. When you call on me, when you come and pray to me, I'll listen. When you come looking for me, you'll find me. That's Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 10 through 14. And, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, when God guarantees something, it's basically guaranteed. So God told them, you know, he hadn't forgotten them. He said, you know, I know the plans I have for you, plans for, you know, for you, for your welfare, not for your harm, plans for a hope and a bright future for you. God said, when the time comes, I'm going to bring you out. In the end, I have good plans for you. You know, your troubles will not last forever. Although all the odds are stacked against you now, I will still bring you through. The lesson here is this. God's plan for us overcomes all odds against us. You know, God's plan is greater than all the odds against you. You know, we see this, you know, enacted time after time in the scriptures. God had a plan and a purpose for Joseph. Joseph even received a hint of God's plan in his dreams. God's plan was that Joseph would save his family from starvation when he became second in power to the Pharaoh in Egypt. But the odds were against it. When his brothers, in a fit of jealousy, bear him, you know, beat him, and he basically dumped him in the pit, all odds were against him. When he was sold into captivity in Egypt, all the odds were against him there. When he's falsely accused by his master's wife, all the odds were against him. And when he was cast into prison, all odds were even stacked way more against him. But Joseph came through all the odds. God's plan for Joseph was fulfilled when he was brought from the pit and the prison elevated to a palace, to a place in a palace. You know, God's plans are greater than all the odds against you. The odds were against Moses bringing a rebellious people out of Egypt. But God's plan can overcome all odds. The odds were against the people as they faced the turbulent sea before them, that they felt the hot breath of the Egyptian pursuers behind them. But God's plan can overcome all odds against anything, even the odds against you. And, you know, we have to have strong faith and believe that, you know, this is what God does. He overcomes things. He knocks obstacles out of our paths. You know, the odds were against, you know, a little shepherd boy named David becoming king of Israel. But God made him the greatest king of Israel, made him, you know, a king of kings. The odds were against the three Hebrew boys when they were cast into the fiery furnace. But God's plan will overcome all odds against you. The odds were against Daniel as he faced the lion in the lion's den. But God's plans are greater than all the odds against you. But let me just tell you, and, you know, the odds against, you know, basically tonight happening are, believe it or not, astronomical. Because, you know, there are so many things, there are so many obstacles that could prevent a lot of things from happening. But we have to continue on until we find that breakthrough. You know, it's possible to reach, your goals. It's possible to overcome even if all odds are against you. You know, basically, just to let you know, whatever dream you have, you have to reach for, the possibilities within yourself. You know, no matter how the odds are stacked against you, if God has a plan for you, He can overcome all odds that are against you. You know, and it just really, there's no small or big example, that I can give you, whereas though, overcoming the odds, and there's so many different, examples in the Bible of overcoming, the odds, and we can go, as far as, Acts, the whole book of Acts from there, and basically it's trying to show how the division of nations were trying to be set apart, but basically and overall the gospel is for everybody. God is not concerned about the, the color or ethnicity of one, who's coming with the gospel or coming to receive the gospel. God has basically wiped the eyes away, and He's looking at us as a whole. He's looking at us spiritually, not, physically or any other restrictions. So where He can help, He can help us where, we can stop, either entertaining or just stopping, some of the nonsense that we think and some of the nonsense that we start comprising in our mind. God's worship is not intended to be, placed in a box, It is something wide open. The odds against, a minister of one race in addition to people of another race or ethnicity, the odds of that are happening, are very significant because, regardless of, your nationality or what color you are, when God has a message for you delivered, that message will be delivered, and even if it's in another language or another tongue, God makes sure that His message, is felt clearly. Basically He's making sure, like he's standing on His word that message will be delivered. But, how often has it been that there are churches that are willing to think outside the box and call a minister of, of another race or another ethnicity? There's nothing wrong with, with this, but a lot of churches and a lot of people have that over, not to overlook, the congregation and what they're comprised of, but this, is one of the ways how we break down, some of the demographics and the stereotypes. And this is when, like when there are installation services where, you get to meet the new pastor, the new minister, and, you're thinking the eyes of against, say, you're in a predominantly, black church, that they would choose a white pastor to, to lead the congregation. And one of the things, God is constantly breaking down is the stereotypes, and nobody can predict prophecy as far as how God is going to work through, our churches and our sanctuaries. But, it's best believed that between, whether it's, the race of a pastor or minister or the sexual nature, whether it's man or woman, I didn't mean to put that last word, sexual nature, but the sex of the pastor or preacher or minister, whether they're a man or a woman, God is always breaking down that, either the stereotypes, the heresy, you know, whatever way you think it should look like, it's, it, you know, he's going to make sure that you see something different, because he's not sitting there and saying that I'm going to send a message through this black preacher or this white preacher or minister or, you know, whatever. He's making sure that the messenger he sends is going to be somebody that can reach everyone. So it's not going to be confined in the box and saying it's got to meet this criteria and that's criteria for this church and that church. You know, God wants the ministry to be broken down to us in many different ways. And one of the ways that, you know, he would love to do it is to send that message as many different ways to us. So if it takes a white guy, a black guy, Chinese guy, the message is going to get to you. Whether you accept it, that's just another story. But, you know, God's plan, you know, is basically to let you know that you can overcome all odds against you, even the eyes of your age. You know, Jesus said to occupy till he comes. I take that to mean that we are to work, you know, for the master until he comes for us. We are to work while it's yet day, and you know, for the night is soon coming when we all will be unable to work. You know, work as the Lord gives you strength to work. There is work for young and for old to do. You know, and basically, it's just letting you know, and I said this is probably the last time I want to say this on the air about as far as age and how no matter what age, you know, and no matter how the odds are stacked against you, you know, a lot of times we have to sit and persevere. And the guy I'm going to mention is going to be very Colonel Sanders. And like I said, I've mentioned his name many times as far as age and achievement and overcoming odds. For years, like I said before, Colonel Sanders had a recipe for chicken. And that recipe he kept, and he tried to sell it, franchise it, do the best that he could do as far as seeing, you know, what he can do. As far as, you know, making, you know, a profit from that recipe, because he knew it was a good recipe. He just couldn't, you know, figure out how to franchise it, how to actually make money. And so for years, he, you know, he sat on his recipe. And then finally, at the age of 70, somebody says, hey, that chicken recipe you got, I'd like to try it out. They finally tried it out, liked it, and says, hey, I'd like to franchise this, you know. And he said, yeah, go ahead. You know, and that's the reason why you see an older gray-haired guy, you know, on the chicken box, is because, you know, that recipe that he was sitting on, that he knew that, you know, he had a good recipe for chicken. He finally had that breakthrough at the age of 70. So it's here to, you know, to say that, you know, against all the odds, what are the odds of, you know, a 70-year-old guy, you know, finally making it? And, you know, just actually getting his dream come true of actually franchising and making his ingredients for chicken popular. So, he did it. You know, he actually got it done as far as, you know, overcoming the odds, as far as, you know, making a way for, you know, what he done. You know, but it's not unusual for God to work, you know, against all odds. You know, the very gospel itself was conceived against the odds. You know, all the religions are focused on us striving to reach God, but by our own efforts, we are to strive to get close to God. But as the gospel says, that God came down to, you know, to us. The gospel turns things upside down. The odds were against, you know, a lot of things. Many people today still don't believe what happened. You know, the odds against it, you know. It's, you know, it's too far-fetched, you know, for a lot of people to say, you know, this is the majestic God. You know, this is a transcendent God. This God who sits so high, this God who is so far above us, this God came down to us. The odds are against it, but that was God's plan. The odds were against Jesus being born in a manger. The odds were against Jesus being born of a virgin. The odds were against God clothing himself in human flesh and walking with us on a journey of life. You know, the odds are against, are basically against it, but that's was God, that was God's purpose. And that's why I love the gospel. I love it because the odds are against almost everything. But God's plan and purpose overcomes all the odds. God breaks the odds when he puts his plan in action. Even Jesus Christ faced all the odds against him. When they condemned him and falsely accused him, all odds were against him. All odds were against him when they spat in his face, flogged him until, you know, blood came gushing out of him. All odds were against him when he walked up the hill. All odds were against him when they nailed all those spikes in his hands and feet. All odds were against him when they pierced him in the side. All odds were against him as he hung on the cross for 6 agonizing hours. All odds were against him when he bowed his head and died. His enemies thought they had him for now. All odds were against him, even challenging them with his, you know, basically with his teachings. All odds were against him, even under their authority. Even the disciples thought all was lost. Jesus was gone. All odds were against ever listening to his preaching again. All odds were against even walking with him again. Even the women were frustrated because of the large stone placed in front of his tombs. All odds were against ever seeing him again. But, you know, earlier one Sunday, all odds, he got up from that grave. That's the story of the gospel. Even after Peter's sermon at the Pentecost, all odds were against the disciples. All odds were against as they were persecuted and prosecuted. All odds were against them as they endured the trials and tribulations. So the cause of basically for the gospel. But God had a plan and a purpose for the gospel. Despite all odds, the gospel had flourished for over 2,000 years. Against all odds, millions have put their trust in Jesus. Now, you know, nobody is too hard for God. Basically to save. And basically through the gospel, God's grace is greater than all our sins. The odds are not too great against anyone being saved. God can save the vilest sinner as well as comfort the sweetest saint. Against all odds, the church is still rolling on. And against all odds, the gospel has spread basically as far wide as it can and still growing. God's plan for you extended beyond the grave, all of us face the 100% chance of death. No one can escape the 100% odds of death. But God's plan for you does not end at the grave. After all, I believe Jesus is preparing a place for us in a brightest mansion above. Against all odds, we shall wear a crown when the journey is over. You know, some would say that Christians are following a pipe dream. The odds are against there being anything beyond this life. But against all odds, I believe that I shall dwell in the house, live forever. Against all odds, believe that the right hand of God are a pleasure forevermore. And, you know, trust me, you know, I wouldn't be saying this if I didn't believe it, but, you know, there's a lot of times that we have to see to believe, and we have to have, you know, unsurmountable proof. And that comes from today's technology where, you know, we just need to have every last detail, every last thing documented where, you know, we can see it on video. If it's not on video, I don't know. Might not be true. Who told you that? You know, basically we don't have to have, you know, somebody spell it out. You know, we had to basically understand, you know, what God has a calling for us, you know. God basically has a calling, you know, against all odds, in all likelihood, you know, that calling is up for you, you know. And like you say, you know, once you're close to, you know, fulfilling, you know, what you need to do or, you know, what your purpose is, you know, it gets harder. You know, just like anything, you know, you do in life, it seems like the closer you get, the harder it gets when you start making those last final steps. But that's, you know, that's the nature of how things go. You know, we have to make sure that we're able to persevere how we're able to make sure that we can, as we go to those final steps, that we have that inner strength and that resolve to keep going. You know, it always seems like the odds are stacked against us. You know, it always does. But, you know, those that persevere have a way to prevail. You know, you have to make sure you have that don't give up, don't quit, keep on keeping on. You know, having faith in God, you know, if you have faith in God, you can do anything, which is, you know, according to God's purpose and plan for your life. You know, Jesus says that you can move mountains if you have faith. You can speak to the mountains and that the mountains will take up and throw into the sea. Speak to the odds, you know, that are against you. Tell the odds to get out of your way. Just like, you know, when you're saying, you know, for the presence of Satan in the name of Jesus, you must flee. The same thing, you know, the odds against you have to back off and back away. You know, we have to make sure, you know, for what you're doing, you make sure you don't do against yourself. You know, what is God calling you to do? What dreams do you have in your heart? You know, God overcame all odds, you know, of race, gender, and age, facing basically whatever was thrown, you know, at him, at us. You know, when I say us, that's when, you know, we're in one accord with his word and we're doing, you know, what he wants us to do or what he needs us to do. And we have to make sure that, you know, until, you know, we meet our final time, and we make sure that, you know, we do handle hardships and we do have, you know, basically, you know, we're dealing with the odds against us, you know, where we have trouble where, you know, the source is right there and all we have to do is ask him, you know, and be in one accord with him. You know, there are times where, you know, I see so many times on TV where you have these financial companies and saying, oh, you're in financial trouble. Well, we can get you out of financial trouble in 3 months, you know, 6 months, 9 months, without declaring bankruptcy. You know, and I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, you know, if I really want to get out of all this trouble or whatever, no, I'll just go on my knees and pray my way and ask God to forgive me. And I can wake up the next morning and it'll be all gone if he wants it to. And, you know, all these people, you know, do they have these pictures and things, and they want us all to have faith in what they're doing. And that's just to get a mind off of what we should be doing. We should be praying our way out of certain situations. We should be praying and, you know, persevering. And also, you know, even though, you know, we fall into hard times or we, you know, sometimes we get a bad deal or something like that, we have to remember that, you know, all this is, you know, whatever is considered a failure, whatever is considered, you know, a misstep, or, you know, you made the wrong choice, or you made the wrong investment, you have to make sure you understand that even though you've done that, you made the wrong choice, the wrong investment, you basically, you know, made a mistake or you had a misstep, you have to make sure you learn from them. And not only learn from them, make sure you put that, you know, use that as, a mere stepping stone, where you can just sidestep it once it comes your way again, or you just know better in general. And that is hard, you know, as far as, you know, basically taking something on the chin, as far as, you know, you making a mistake or, you know, you made a bad investment. You know, we all make bad choices sometimes. We all make mistakes here and there. But we have to make sure we don't wallow and stay in the muck and the mire that it seems that we have created, or, you know, it's just a misstep or wrong turn. We have to make sure, you know, we already defied the odds by, you know, whatever we've done, whatever mistake we made, we're still standing, we're still there. We have to make sure that, you know, we have that persevering attitude where, though, this is just an obstacle. This is something I'm going to sidestep. This is something I'm going to, you know, basically overcome. Whereas I make sure that I'm not going to lay down and defeat on this one. And, you know, on top of that, you know, hey, I might just need to double up on my prayers. I need to double up on, you know, my efforts. You know, there's nothing wrong with, you know, turning to, you know, a mistake into a positive, by just, you know, looking at it for what it is. And sometimes we can just say, hey, this is a part of experience. You know, this is, you know, we all at some point are going to face an uphill battle where we feel as though, you know, what's going on, what we're doing. And basically, we're not just looking for light at the end of the tunnel. We're looking for, you know, how can I correct this mistake? But, you know, a lot of times we're looking at it totally the wrong way, because sometimes the mistake we're made, we're meant to make those mistakes for us to learn through experience. You know, and I'm just going to give a good example of what happened to me when I think I was in like third grade. And what happened was basically, you know, I had a teacher, and she, I thought she probably had a problem with me, or because whenever she was asking questions and she says, who can answer this or who can answer that, you know, I would raise my hands. My hand. And she would almost never call on me. And, you know, finally, you know, after this was going on for days, where, you know, she would, you know, ask, you know, who knows the question to this? And so I got tired of raising my hand. And for some reason, at some point, she asked a question, and I chose not to raise my hand. So, of course, I forget her name. She calls on me. And what happened is I didn't know the answer to that one. And I was like, wow. I was like, why did she call on me? I've been raising my hand all this time, and she finally calls on me, and I don't know the answer. So she asked me, you know, the question. I said, no, Mrs. I think her name is Miss Powell or whatever. But I said, no, Miss Powell, I don't know the answer. And then she, you know, called on somebody else, and they knew the answer. And I was like, okay. So I started soaking in, and, you know, I'm like, why does she call on me? So finally, at the end of the day, you know, she actually told me why she called on me at that point. Because she said, you know, basically from class and how I was paying attention, how I did, you know, some of my classwork, she knew that I knew most of the answers. And what she said was she knew that I didn't know everything, so at one point I wasn't going to raise my hand. And that's when, you know, she just said, that's why I called on you, because you didn't raise your hand. And she says one of the things that, you know, that you can learn from is if it's something that you don't know and you can learn it. She says, well, the reason why I called on you, I wanted you to know that you didn't know the answer, and I wanted you to know the answer, so I know that that's one more or less thing that you don't know, or that I know that you do know. And so I was kind of confused at first, and then I understood what she basically was saying was that, you know, you don't know everything, but you can learn something. So that was, you know, one of the things that I learned from that teacher. And we agree going to the Call of Salvation. And just let everybody know, this is a private purpose kingdom network. And we are broadcasting on www.blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom. You want to call in, phone number calling is 319-527-6091. And you can also call in 323-870-4174. And, you know, please tell a friend, and please share with friends and family members, let them know about Purpose Kingdom Network. We thank those that have done so. Okay, and so we're going to go ahead and call a salvation. The call of salvation is simple. It's, you know, it's not stacked up against you. This is something totally for you. If you want to go ahead and, you know, claim your salvation, the best way to do it is just let everyone know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and He died on the cross for your sins. And, you know, once you say that earnestly in your heart and just let him know that you invite him into your heart and you want to turn over a new leaf in life, you know, you're saved. You know, you just tell a friend, call someone, text someone, just let them know. Just don't sit on it, you know. Just let everybody know. Just let everybody know the good news that you, you know, you claim your salvation and that you become a kingdom citizen. And the next thing I suggest you do is find a Bible believing, teaching, preaching sanctuary that will nurture you in the word of Christ. If you can't find that sanctuary, that's why we're here at Purpose Kingdom Network, where we can just, we broadcast almost every night that we're able to, where we can nurture you in the word of Christ until you find that sanctuary home where you can feel comfortable getting nurtured in the word of Christ. With God's will, God's blessing, we hope you join us tomorrow evening at the 8 p.m. hour. And don't forget, it's going to be at the 8 p.m. hour for the Turning Point with Elder Charles Lee and Reverend Maureen Lee. And once again, with God's will, God's blessing, we hope you join us tomorrow evening at the 8 p.m. hour for the Turning Point. And this is going to be hosted by Elder Charles Lee and Reverend Maureen Lee. And we hope to see you tomorrow. We thank you for your support here at Purpose Kingdom Network. If you want to correspond with us here at Purpose Kingdom Network, you can correspond with us here at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com. We can send your comments, questions, concerns. You can simply say hello or send a prayer request. We gladly honor that. We're also on Instagram and Twitter at purpose_kingdom. We can do likewise. We're also on Facebook. We invite you to like our Facebook page where you can see our upcoming advertisements and some of our upcoming scheduled shows. And we thank you so much for doing so. with that being said, that's going to complete the announcements. So for one more thing, just want to let you know that we're back on anchor.com for our morning walk of inspiration. Please feel free to do the links on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. To go ahead and look at our latest morning walk episode. So basically, we're back on at anchor.com or Anchor FM. We can hear our morning walk of inspiration. And we thank you so much, and we're going to get back to the program. Now, getting back to the program, which is, you know, basically Against All Odds. And it's basically, you know, where I'm just, you know, bridging the gap between how sports can coincide with, you know, how we live our everyday lives and how it relates to us. You know, we just don't know. You know, athletes right now today, it's supposed to be for us to get away from, you know, our everyday lives. We're supposed to be a distraction, you know, a sort of getaway. But sometimes vicariously we feel as though that we are that athlete, or we could be that athlete, or we should be able to do what they do. But, you know, basically when, you know, they endure a lot of things and they've gone over a lot of obstacles and things, along the way, once you make, you know, great leaps and bounds and accomplishments, a lot of times you forget, you know, the nudge of encouragement where, you know, and sometimes, like they say, you know, when people, you know, they get up and statue and things like that, you forgot where you came from. You know, basically, you know, some of the athletes do. For the good part, a majority of them don't. A majority of them are grateful and they're happy to be in the position they are. And they know that, you know, with a little luck here, or if they were off only 40 times a half a second, they may not have gotten drafted and got a chance, you know, to make it into the league. You know, it really is truly, you know, a wonder, you know, how, you know, against the odds are stacked against people and, you know, how they perceive of how all things came through their accomplishments. And nowadays, like I said, not many, you know, they choose to, you know, thank God, you know, and, you know, put him first. You know, there are a pretty few of the unique athletes right now today that, you know, they give praises to God, you know, for their accomplishment. And, you know, or they just basically stay, you know, with all things, you know, with God, all things are possible. You know, and it's basically the same with you. It's just that, you know, you're not up on that grand stage where you say it and then, you know, you get picked apart, you know, a couple weeks later, you know, it's kind of easy where, you know, you're probably looking at him and saying, well, God was with you. Why come you lost four games? You know, why come you didn't win them all? You know, and that's just being, you know, nitpicky and just, you know, being judgmental. You know, like I said, you know, God shows up when he wants to and how he wants to. You know, and like I said, you know, losing doesn't have to be all, you know, you have to take it as a loss and say, hey, I lost. Sometimes, you know, there are some nuggets or some tidbits of, you know, experience through, you know, losing sometimes. You know, everybody wants to be a winner, but, you know, at some point, somebody has to be a loser. No matter how many times you won, you know, you can't win everything. You can't win them all, like they say. You know, and I love broadcasting here in Purpose Kingdom Network. My next self-expression sports edition show is going to be on the second Friday of next month. And I hope, you know, you'll feel free to join me. I will be on, not this Saturday, but the following Saturday with my regular self-expression show at 8:30. Please feel free to join in on that show. And I just like to thank everyone. My voice is just a little bit off. That's because I've been going through strep throat and over that, and then I got a sore throat. But other than that, I'm okay. It's just voice a little, you know, a little scratchy. And I'm going to, you know, end the program a little early so I can give away the rest of my voice for next Saturday. And so don't forget self-expressions. It's going to be on 8:30 next Saturday, not this upcoming Saturday. This Saturday, 8 p.m., it's going to be Lee's with the Turning Point. And please feel free to join that program tomorrow evening. And don't forget, it starts at 8 o'clock. So 8 o'clock, it's going to be the Lee's. All right. With that being said, I'd like to thank everyone for listening to tonight's show. And don't forget, you know, make sure you love yourself and love others. Make sure no matter what you're doing, you do it to win. You want to win because losing is not fun. And I'm out. All right.
Jesus bless. He raised me. I will not lose. He saved me. I will not lose. Set me free. I will not lose.
Never want to see me down. I will not lose.
He saved me.